Let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. We're continuing our study here. Revelation chapter 6. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, you will guide and direct my thoughts, my words, my actions, my deeds, everything that is done and said right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will orchestrate it, Lord, through me. That, Lord, you will impart truth, understanding, revelation to each person here. Lord, that we will be transformed by the knowledge of the will of God. We'll be transformed by truth. Your word is truth, Lord God. And your truth is a light and expels and drives out darkness. Father, we pray for the light and the revelation here to get into our spirits and our hearts and change us, that we might be transformed into the glorious image of Jesus Christ. For your glory and for your name's sake, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. First seal. Now, here's a series of seals that were opened up. In verse 1, it said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, the Lamb being Jesus, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. This is not Jesus. This is a counterfeit Christ. I believe this speaks of the Antichrist, this one world ruler, this one world dictator that I believe very possibly could be alive today in the earth according to the way that things are lining up. And we see how things are coming into a one world order, a one world government, a one world monetary system, and a one world religion that's not going to be by choice, but it's going to be forced upon all, both great and small. There's coming a marking system that everyone is going to be required to have a mark in the right hand or in the forehead in order to buy or sell or do anything. And it's going to happen like that. And it's time for people to wake up and realize what's going on, prepare themselves, because I believe that the Lord has prepared a place for us. Amen. And those who will seek him, those who will walk with him closely, God will supernaturally protect. God will supernaturally intervene. And if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow down. Amen?
Amen.
And so here we have these. I want to look at the first five seals real quick. The first one was the world conqueror. The second seal was war. There's going to be conflict on earth. Right now there's wars all over the earth. But I believe that these are going to increase as time goes on. And then as a result of the wars, the third seal is famine. There's going to be widespread famine. Right now, they are worried about the situation with the world food supply. The world food supply is not going to keep up with the demands of the population of the earth. And so even the scientists are trying to figure out what to do about the problem of feeding the people, because even in America, which has traditionally been the breadbasket, you know, even in America, we're having the floods and the fires and the conditions of drought and all over this nation that are causing problems with food production. We're burning up most of our corn as ethanol in our fuel. The bees are disappearing. They don't know what's going on with the bees. And because the bees are disappearing, that means pollination is going to be a problem for fruits and certain, amen, vegetables and certain crops that require bee pollination. There's a lot of things that are happening very quickly, which are only to point to the fact that this word is true, that what God said is going to come to pass. And it's not to scare us, but it's to awaken us so that we might be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Because the Lord has gone away to prepare a place for us. And I believe he's going to come again. He's going to receive us. And I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And then there was a fourth seal where there was widespread death on the earth, war, hunger, and disease. And this fifth seal was the cry of those who had been martyred for their testimony of Jesus. Right now, there's literally hundreds of thousands every year of Christians that are being martyred around the world. The Voice of the Martyr magazine brings a lot of the statistics and does a lot of the contact work that you don't hear anything about, by the way, in the media. But there are thousands and thousands of Christians that are being martyred for their testimony of Jesus today in the earth. It's already happening. And it's been happening, but it has escalated to unprecedented levels in recent years. And now we come to the sixth seal in chapter 6 and verse 12. I want us to look at this. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. When the sky receded as a scroll that when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. This is going to be a catastrophic earthquake. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? There are going to be cosmic disturbances at the coming of the day of the Lord. This is speaking, folks, I believe, of the day of the Lord that the Bible speaks much about. And the opening of this seal brings frightening disturbances, not only on the earth, but also in the heavens. The Bible says the heavens themselves will also be shaken. They're starting to notice things are changing even in the heavenlies, in the heavenly bodies, and the sun, solar flares, and different things that are starting to happen. There's this concern of these asteroids, you know, of possibilities of one of these asteroids hitting the earth. Well, the Bible talks about a star called Wormwood later on in Revelation that does hit the earth and poisons a great percentage of the waters. Now, the opening of the seal is something that we need to pay attention to, folks, because these are the things that Jesus also spoke of in Matthew 24. If you want to hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 24. How many know the Word of God proves itself within itself? Hallelujah. I don't need the Book of Mormon. I don't need Joseph. I don't need any of these other writings that people come up with because they contradict what the Word of God says. The Word of God proves itself within itself. There's all kinds of Gnostic gospels and perverted gospels that are out there that they're trying to throw back at people that were left out of this canon for a very good reason, because these were people that were apostates that had fallen away from the true faith. And they had written these perverted gospels, and they try to bring them back in and say that this is just a missing book of the Bible. Well, there's a reason why it wasn't put in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 29... Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars, here it is again, will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man. Who is that? Coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Joel chapter 2 verse 30 says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Here it is. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now it's obvious in verse 16 and 17 of Revelation, if you'd switch back over there, that mankind is definitely aware that the day of the wrath of God has come. It wasn't a surprise. And I believe, folks, that there are many who are hearing the word today, but are not really hearing it. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a difference. It's not enough just to know the facts. It's not enough just to know what the Bible says. You need to really hear what God is saying. And you need to make preparation. Noah moved with godly fear when the Lord spoke to him and said, prepare an ark to save your family because I'm going to pour out my wrath on the world of the ungodly. Noah, being a just man that found grace in the sight of the Lord, he moved with godly fear. He prepared himself and he prepared an ark also to the saving of his family. It's not enough just to know what God is saying. We need to listen to the instruction of the Lord so that we will be ready in the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being here for the day of the Lord. I believe that the Lord has promised a place for those who have been looking for Him. In Luke, I believe it's 21, near the end of that chapter, Jesus said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. And so there is an escape I believe for the people who walk with God, who are right in their heart with the Lord, who have repented of their sins and are walking by faith in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And so here in Isaiah 61, it talks about Jesus' first coming. And Jesus stood up in the synagogue, remember, on the Sabbath, and he read from Luke chapter 4, or from Isaiah 61, but it's recorded in Luke chapter 4. And he said that this was the acceptable year of the Lord. How many know that today is an opportunity for you to get saved? Today is an opportunity for you and I to get ourselves together, amen, by coming to Jesus with nothing in hand except, Lord, I'm a mess. I need you to change me. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my future. I know I can't save myself. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to take the mess and fix it, amen. You know what God does? He doesn't say, okay, here's a Band-Aid, boom. Here's a patch, boom. What God does to a repentant sinner, one who truly came to a realization that they are a mess and there's no possible way for them to save themselves, they tried Christianity. And it didn't work. Did you try Jesus? But there's an escape. There is a deliverance for the people of God. I believe if you truly repent and you come to Jesus, and you confess and you forsake your sins, then what's called remission takes place. A removal of sin. Hallelujah. And God will put His Holy Spirit in us and change the way that we think. And all of a sudden, I want to do the things that Jesus did. I want to be like my Jesus because I've got a part of Him in me. We're all part of members of His body. Amen. So we're living in some, I believe, in some really interesting days today. I mean, we're looking at Bible prophecy in the news every day. Isn't it cool? And again, the Lord wants us to rejoice in Him. He doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to run up into the hills and put canned goods. Well, if God tells you to do that, do that. But He said, rejoice. Look up. Lift up your head, right? For your redemption is drawing nigh. You see these things that are happening around you. It's not to scare you, but to prepare you. What is this? And the first coming was the acceptable day of the Lord. I believe we're living in that period right now of God's favor, of God's grace, where God is, He's throwing them out. How many know that God did not come right now? God is not judging. God is not judging right now. Jesus said, for judgment I did not come. Amen? He came to show mercy and to show grace. He came in grace and truth, amen, so that the world will turn to Jesus, that they might be saved, that they might be delivered from the curse, amen, and from their sin, that they may be brought into the family of God until the time when the Lord says the door will be now shut. How many know that there was a season of time when people were allowed to get aboard the ark? As Noah, man of God, a preacher of righteousness, was warning the people that there was going to be a flood. And they probably mocked just like they're mocking the church and the preachers today.
That's right.
And they knew not, the Bible says, until the day that they entered into the ark and the floods came and took them all away. Folks, I don't want to be swept away because that's what's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to happen suddenly. Suddenly. How many knows that God does a lot of things suddenly? And so He said, be ready. Be ready, for the Lord is coming in an hour when you think not. And so, I believe, what is this sign? It says they will see the sign of the Son of Man in Matthew 24. Could this be the time when Israel recognizes that Jesus is their Messiah? And then they're going to mourn. It says they will mourn because they're looking upon Him whom they pierced. Who would that be? Yeah. The Jews are going to have their eyes open. God's going to remove the veil. Right now, there's a blindness in part upon the Jewish people. While the Gentiles, the non-Jewish peoples, are having the opportunity to come to Messiah, to Jesus Christ, to be saved, there's going to be, hallelujah, a removal of that veil, and there's going to be a closing of the door, and I believe the fullness of the Gentiles is going to come to an end. That last number, I don't know where the number is, but God is bringing people on the ark, and that ark is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then the time is going to come when he's going to turn to his ancient people and the veil is going to be removed and Jesus is going to appear. Hallelujah. They will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory, I believe. And they're going to mourn because they're going to recognize the one who they blasphemed, the one who they rejected, the one who they crucified truly was the Son of God, truly was the Messiah. See, many of them right now are still waiting for the Messiah to come. They have not recognized that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. Because they only understood that there was only going to be... They thought there was two. You know, there was the suffering servant and there was the reigning king. They believed there was two different Messiahs. And there was a confusion when Jesus came and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they threw palm leaves along his route and he rode in on the foal of a colt, right? Into the city, and they said, the king, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. The king was coming. And they said, hallelujah, we're never going to have to go to Costco again. He's going to just multiply bread, and you know, and he's going to kick these Romans out of here, and hallelujah. And the next thing you know, a lot of the same crowd, within a very short time, I think it was days, were saying, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him. Away with him. And so the time will come when Messiah will reveal himself to his people. Folks, right now there's a revival in Israel. God's people are waking up. And brother, you're not aware of that. There's just moves of God everywhere right now in Israel. They're coming alive. They're starting to... The bones of Ezekiel's vision are starting to wake up, you know. Life is coming back in. And they're starting to see... Hallelujah. We're living in exciting times. Hallelujah. This word is so awesome. But the second coming, you know, when Jesus read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, when he stood up and he maybe talked about the acceptable year of the Lord, he stopped right there and he shut the book. He didn't continue to read Isaiah's prophecy. Why? Because it goes on to say, and the vengeance of the day of our God. Well, that hasn't happened yet, but that is going to happen. And so there was a time of preparation for the bride of Christ to be ready, make herself ready, because I believe that Jesus, as he said, I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I will receive you to myself. Amen? Yes. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm going away to Papa's house. Amen? And I'm going to prepare a place for us. Yes. Amen? To come and get my bride and bring her home with me. And the reason why Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, neither the angels of heaven, neither the Son of Man. Even Jesus didn't know why. Because it was the Father, in Hebrew tradition, it was the Father who would say, now is the time to go get your bride. Whether it be at midnight. We don't know when he's coming, but we do know that he's coming. Just like he promised. And so I want to be ready. We need to be ready. And we need to tell other people, listen, you need to get ready because Jesus Christ is coming. And he's going to rescue us. There is coming this time, not a flood of water, but there is coming a firestorm that is going to burn up the earth. Hallelujah. And you don't want to be a part of that. And God has made a way. If you will come to the ark of safety, if you will come to Jesus Christ, amen, he has prepared a place for you. In Zechariah 12:10, it says, then they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. They're going to wail in that day because they realize it was Jesus. He was the Messiah all along. And so in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Wow. Aren't you glad that we can avoid the wrath of God by repenting of our sins today? How many know that it's not enough just to say, I'm sorry? That's not repentance. Repentance means I'm sorry enough to stop it and to turn to God and to follow him now. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. This is the wrath that John was warning the people. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It hadn't happened yet. But they were coming to be baptized of John, a baptism of repentance. Because the Holy Spirit, even at that time, was beginning to deal with people's hearts that they need to get right. with God. Because he has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world. And I'm glad that I'm not going to be part of that. Hallelujah. How many know judgment must first begin with the house of the Lord? How many know that the Lord is dealing with us right now? He's getting us ready. Why? Because he wants us to be pure. He wants us to be ready for him for wedding day. And that's why we got to be very careful that when we lift up the cup of communion, we say, Lord, I'm vowing to be your bride. I'm entering into covenant with you. Whatever you have is mine. Whatever I have is yours. Amen. Therefore, I'm no longer my own. I've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. I've been bought. I'm his. So I can no longer go. I cannot cheat on my master by going and living a sin-sick world. Amen. A life according to the sin-sick world around us. Those things that God hates, we should hate. Those things that God loves, we should love. Come on. Is Christ really in you? If Christ is in you, you will hate the things God hates and you will love the things he loves. Why? Because of his Spirit bearing witness within you that you are his child. Hallelujah. Man, God came in and changed my, messed me up in a good way. I was having fun as a sinner, I thought. Until the bottom came out. That's sin, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. It's fun for a season, but then it catches up to you, right? And if it hasn't yet, it will. It's time to quit. Time to turn. Time to repent. Time to get right with Jesus. Time to get on the ark. Praise God. The redeemed are saved from wrath. Romans 5 and verse 8 and 9 says, but God demonstrates. God doesn't tell you he loves you. God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were still sinners. Aren't you glad? Because the people that tried to be righteous enough for God never got righteous enough. The people that were the do-gooders that thought, I'll just be do enough good things, God's going to like me. For all have sinned. Amen? All. And fallen short. So Christ died for us, and much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Through him. What's God's plan? God's plan is to catch up, to remove, hallelujah, his bride, his people, his ready ones in the rapture. When will this happen? There's a lot of debate. When is God going to catch up, amen, the saints to meet him in the air? Is it before the rapture, the great tribulation, in the middle, or at the end of the great tribulation? I can tell you absolutely with positivity, is there such word as positivity? Yes. I just made one up if there isn't. When God is going to rapture the church? When he's good and ready. Yes. We just need to be ready. Actually, I believe that we will be raptured before the wrath of God. I think it's clear. All right? And I'm going to give you some scriptures here that will speak to that. But I'm not going to allow this thing to divide us. I don't think that's smart. It's not wise that Christians divide over some of these, you know, what you call peripheral issues. We need to agree on the fundamentals of the faith. And Luke 17, verse 26 says that as it was in Noah's day and in Lot's day, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. I'm not going to go into that. If you want to look it up later, that's fine. Now, what was happening? In the day of Noah, there was preparation. Amen. There was preaching of righteousness. There was a warning to the people. It's time for you to get ready. It's time for you to get on the ark. Amen. Join with us. As it was in Lot's day as well. Amen. God did first what? He removed Lot and his family out of the city that God was going to judge with fire and brimstone. Remember? And also we need to remember, of course, Lot's wife. For whatever reason, God said, do not look back. Get out of the city immediately and do not look back. You know, well, we can speculate, was it because, you know, her heart was still in the city? Well, I believe there was something to say to that, you know. And I also had heard from somebody a while back that there was a family left behind that didn't come out. And a mother's heart would be for her children. But when God says get out, we need to get out. Amen. When God says get out of the world, in other words, divorce yourself from this sin-sick world and come into me, amen, we need to listen. Amen? Because those are the ones who He's going to keep. I mean, you know that God knows how to keep you too. You trust, just trust Him. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own performance, by the way. Just abide in Him. Pray. Stay with Jesus. Walk with Him every day. I don't worry about my salvation because when I walk with Jesus, I have peace with God. You know, people want to debate, can you lose your salvation or not? I said, don't worry about it. Just walk with Jesus and you're not going to be worried. The peace of God will keep your heart. Amen? Stand on the promises of the Lord. Now, the rapture is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. There it is, where we get the word rapture today. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. When I first read that, you know, almost sounds kind of Hollywood, right? And I remember watching some of the old cheesy shows back in, where they, when they come out with back in the 70s, I think it was. You know, about the rapture and the stuff, some of those. And I'm not knocking those. I'm just saying that it just seems almost fairy tale-ish, you know. But you know what? If God said it and put it in His Word that there's going to be a gathering in the air and that He's going to catch away, so that means He's going to snatch away, then we need to be ready. Now, I've heard someone say that that's talking about a different catching away, but I don't believe that. I believe that this means God's people are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. It's pretty clear, isn't it? I believe in the rapture. And I believe the rapture is for those who have gotten on the ark, who is Jesus Christ, who have obeyed the Lord from their heart, and have prepared themselves, amen, for the saving of themselves. And hopefully with their families too. And I believe that we need to be getting the word out and we need to be telling people about the Lord. Would you agree with that? Things are happening very quickly. Folks, I don't know about you, but I see the masses of humanity are just going blindly into this abyss. Masses are going into this abyss. They're being caught in a snare where this world dictator ruler, who will be, I believe, possessed by Satan himself, is going to rule the world with an iron fist. And we see it by everything being choked out, even the lifeblood of America, economic collapse and things that are happening very quickly. For what reason? To force us into a world order that on the surface promotes peace and prosperity for all. Doesn't that just sound good? Yes, it sounds good. But underlying that is the same lie that Hitler fell for, that he propagated, amen, that he was a savior, that they needed to put their trust in him. Well, what happened to him at the end? And what did he do to so many people? And how many Jews lost their life in the ovens because of this guy? Because he was possessed by the devil. And I believe we see a type of the Antichrist in Hitler. If you want to know what he's going to look like, he was a smooth talker. He's the guy that's going to be one of these slick Willy politicians. I didn't Willy know association there. But you know what I'm talking about? Smooth talking. It's hard for us to trust anybody, isn't it, in leadership? And even in the clergy, brother, am I right? It's harder than ever today to be a pastor because of the abuses that have taken place. And everybody gets categorized. Everybody gets put in the same box. You're all a bunch of phonies. You're all a bunch of... We have a girl who God healed supernaturally of a heart condition who was very critical of the church. And sometimes she had good reason to be because of some of the junk that's gone on in certain circles. Obviously not here. But, you know, it happens. But what God did is He broke through all the arguments that she had And she found herself desperate for a healing. Nowhere else she could go. The doctors couldn't help her. And so she said, well, what else can I do? I'm going to try God. And she came in here. You know what I'm talking about. There's a testimony out on the wall there. And God did the opposite thing. He first just loved on her, healed her. He didn't say, oh, what did you say about me? What did you say about my people? You think I'm going to bless you? You think I'm going to heal you? See, that's God looked past that. God looked past all that junk that we've spoken even about Him. Because He's in love with you. He loves people. He loves the unlovely, such as you and I. But He loved us that much that He looked past that. And even while we were still in rebellion and enemies to God through sin, Jesus said, I'll go, Father, and I will give my life. I will die in their place. I will pay the price that they deserve to pay. For God so loved the world. That's why we divorce ourselves from those things that put Jesus on the cross. We take up our cross daily and we follow Jesus and say, Jesus, if you love me this much, I'm going to love you back. I'm going to follow you the rest of my days. And the more that you get to know the true Jesus, not the Jesus that some people have perverted in their own presentation of Him, but the true Jesus of the Bible, you get to know how good and how pleasant, how lovely and how sweet and how desirable He is, then you're going to be in love with Him and you won't have a problem following that Jesus.
That's right.
You don't have a problem following a God who loves you that much.
Oh.
How much do you love me? I asked Jesus, and He said, this much, and what? Spread His arms and died for me. That's how much. Do you see, it's not a matter of just behaving and being good, you know, being a do-gooder even. What God wants is relationship. He wants us to love Him.
Amen.
And so He gives us love and hopes that we will respond.
Yes.
Isn't it true that husbands are first called to love their wives? And then the wife will then give, you know, a willing submission back to the husband. But it has to be the husband who first loved. Isn't it the man, traditionally, that will go and look for the woman? Amen, guys? We used to be chasing women, right? Hopefully you aren't chasing one woman, but... But, you know, it's in our nature to go out and look for a bride. So God, the Father, amen, sent the Holy Spirit to get a bride for His Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because He's in love. And He's found, He said, she's beautiful. Right now, she's kind of rough, but when I get done with her, she's going to be beautiful. Aren't you glad that God loves you? Fear not. The Lord is with us. Fear not. Those things that are coming upon the earth. The Lord is with us. I believe the Lord is saying, I'm going to be with you. Just look to me. Do not trust in uncertain riches. Do not trust in the things of this life. But keep your eyes fastened upon me, says the Lord. And I will deliver you. There is a place of security in the Most High. There's a place where there's a peace available to you that goes beyond your natural understanding. There is a love place in God. There, in the secret chamber, amen, the secret place where the wine of His love intoxicates you and lifts you up above the things that you're experiencing. So where you can actually rejoice in the Lord just when it feels good. No. Always. What God wants you to do is to delight yourself in Him. Stay filled up in Him. Amen? And when you're filled up on Him and you're in love with Him, you are not going to choose those things that you know will hurt Him. When you love somebody, you don't do those things that grieve them. You see, you willingly submit. You willingly choose. When you experience the love of God, it changes something inside of us that causes us to desire the things that he desires. Amen? I'm going to stop right there. We got more, but I just feel like, hallelujah, God's doing something in here tonight. God's touching hearts and God's imparting something that's going to be good. It's going to change you. It's going to transform you. It's going to turn your world around, turn your life around, get you back on solid ground.